Today we come to this conjecture, and I want you to hear this message, and you know what? This is going to be a tough message. As Jesus is exposed, sometimes Jesus exposes some things that are very tough. And I think one of the things that we have to do as we follow Jesus Christ in America is we have to learn to be really careful. Because a lot of folks will give you an easy Jesus. You know, there's just a lot of teachings in our culture that Jesus gets credit for that he never taught. Here's one that absolutely you can't line up with the Bible. I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to get a lot of stuff. That is absolutely as unbiblical as it gets. And preachers can only preach that in America. Because it doesn't sell in any other country. It won't sell in any other country. Go tell a wonderful Ethiopian who's following Jesus Christ that because they're following Jesus Christ, they get all these material blessings. Because they're jumping up and down because they got to eat and they had a place to sleep today. Hallelujah. And when we begin to deal with Jesus Christ, we have to let Jesus speak for who he is and not take what we've experienced and impose it on Jesus. Sometimes we would rather have what we want Jesus to do than what Jesus wants to do. Would you agree? I only know Jesus from my perspective instead of allowing Jesus to speak for himself. Now, here's the deal today. When you come to a tough moment, what are you going to do? When you come to a tough moment, will you still follow? When Jesus says, you got to go on through there. And you say, well, Lord, I don't know if I want to go on through there. Lord, this looks too tough for me. This teaching's not what I want to hear. God, give me what I want. How many of y'all will go on through there? Now, here's the great news today. There is nothing that is too difficult for Jesus. Now, hold on. I want you to simmer on that for a minute. There is absolutely nothing that you and I will face in this world that is too tough for Jesus. Amen. Watch this. Jesus right now is not going, oh no, America might be entering a recession. I am now fearful from the heavenly host. Jesus is not going, oh no, they're at war. What am I going to do? How many of y'all are glad to know that God has a plan? Amen. And I believe God's had a plan when we have a mess up. What do you guys think? I don't think God went like this. Oh, no! Adam and Eve have eaten of the forbidden tree. What do I do now? I don't think that was the word from heaven. I think heaven knew exactly how to move. Now, how many of y'all got a heaven that knows exactly how to move? Well, if you believe that, go with me to John. John chapter 6, verse 60. 660. 660. And Jesus has unleashed an unreal teaching. But I got to tell you what happened before we get to this point. They had gathered, a large crowd had gathered, and they had gotten hungry. And Jesus had blessed the fish and blessed the bread, and they all ate. He fed over 5,000 of them out of one lunchbox. Whoa, what was the mass appeal? You follow Jesus and what? And what did it cost you? Not a thing. Now hold on. How many of you have been snookered at least once by this philosophy? Something for nothing. Huh? How many of y'all struggle with that? Watch this. I would propose to you that we have developed at least two generations that operate on this philosophy. It starts in school. I ought to get an A because I showed up, not because I studied. I ought to be able to start on the athletic team, not because I can, but because I showed up. How many of you all think you ought to get credit for showing up? Amen. I don't. I think showing up is expected. Now, the deeper question of life is what are you going to be because you showed up? And then there's a deeper question of life. What can you be because Jesus showed up? Oh, now that's where it gets deep, isn't it? I know I'm here. How many of y'all glad to know that you're here? How many of you all are aware of that? You are present. Well, let me ask you a question. What do you expect out of this morning? You came to church. How many of y'all came with expectations? Okay, three people, four people, five. The rest of you need to get some. You need to come expecting God. God, I need a teaching in my life. I need something in my life. I want something to happen in my life that makes a difference in other lives. If all of us got that attitude, what would happen in our congregation? You know what? I get excited every Sunday. Every Sunday I've gotten excited, except a few here at Hillview. I got to be honest. There have been a few Sundays I wasn't excited. Here stuff was going on, and here's what happened, Jack. I let the stuff get up over the Word.
That's right.
But as long as I have the Word, I'm excited, because guess what I know? What Jesus is fixing to teach us is better than what we understand. How many of y'all have come to that belief? And I don't always understand Jesus. Personally, I like a Jesus that hands out free food. Huh? How many of y'all want that Jesus? Now, I'm going to let you all know something. If our pastoral staff would go ahead and succeed to the Jesus mark that hands out free food, you'd never have a financial issue in this church. Everybody'd show up, give a few coins. Oh, there'd be a lot of people here if we had the magic Jesus going on. The magic Jesus who just kind of skips through town, gathers large crowds, and hands out fish sandwiches. Don't you want to vote for that Jesus? That's my kind of Jesus. The Jesus of free lunch. Now, I don't know if y'all keep up with current events, but we have a lot of people that are attracted to free lunch. Now, here's what's going to blow you all away. Jesus is not a free lunch Jesus. And the reason he blessed the food was to take care of a need. Those folks were hungry. And what he was letting them know is that your temporary provision is not my eternal perspective. You see, we get all worked up about the temporary. How many of y'all do this? Oh, this must be a bad day because I feel bad. I'm going to blow some of y'all away. Guess what? Some of y'all are going to feel bad tomorrow. How many of y'all are going to feel bad just because it's Monday? And you've trained yourself every Monday to feel bad. You could retrain yourself in the spirit and say, hey, it's Monday. I'm going to make a difference. Or you could say, hey, it's Friday. I'm going to make a difference. Or you could say, hey, I'm having a tough moment, but I'm going to make a difference. Now, Jesus calls us to do something more than just believe he exists. Or just to, guess what? Reap his reward. How many of y'all hang out with Jesus as long as he's doing what you want? Now, we've been at this at Hillview. Bobby, we've been at this for 18 years. Guess what? I've had some people come to Hillview, and they're like, oh, this is the greatest church in the world. And then I say something they don't want to hear. I'm leaving. It's the most awful church I've ever seen in my life. How many of y'all got that in your life? Huh? Anybody? Come on, any of y'all got those experiences in your life? How many of y'all lead people? If you're leading people, You know, at work, you lead people. How many of you all are wonderful as long as you say yes? Parents, how many of y'all parent? When do your kids love you? Oh, yeah, yes, you can. What about when you say, no, you can't? How many of y'all get this from your three-year-old? I mean, if it's really bad and they really want to do it, they pull out the ultimate punchline. What is it? Y'all remember it? I mean, they go deep and cutting. Any of y'all have a kid ever do this? They'll ball up. Their little baggy Pampers or Huggies will be kicked to one side. And they'll go, I hate you. Now, baby boomers' parents, they immediately called their therapist. They were having a relational difficulty. Old school parents, guess what they said? Good. The feeling is mutual. And the answer is still no. They were teaching their parents, I am the big guy and you are the little guy and God made it that way. And you didn't make me, I made you.
And since I made you, I can discontinue you. The answer is no. Now, guess what you call that? Parenting. And Jesus, in a real way, if you really want to, I think a scriptural vision of God Himself is the ultimate parent. I think Jesus is the best father there ever was, and I think Jesus is the best mother there ever was. I think Jesus knows. I think God, when you look at the Godhead, He's the best mother and father you'll ever have. What do you think? Amen. You ought to rejoice, because if you got a bum deal here on earth, you got a great deal in heaven. Amen. You can get a bum deal here on earth. Parents have this dilemma of being human. God has this advantage of being God. And then He says some tough words to these people who were mesmerized by free lunch. It was a miracle, but Pastor Shane, they got caught up in having lunch. And they came to the other side and they met Jesus over there, and the crowd was in a frenzied man, and they were excited. Why?
They're hoping for more free stuff.
Well, they're going to get some more free stuff. Yeah, you know, this amazes me at ball games. Apparently, ball games aren't exciting anymore. I've been to a few ball games, and the crowd just sit there dead as doornail. I mean, they just... And then all of a sudden, they get these T-shirt guns out. And they walk out mid-court or up around the stands, and they start shooting free T-shirts out, and the crowd goes absolutely berserk over a $2 T-shirt. Why? It's free. I have faith. What? My wife used to be in an organization, and they'd get these women to work 100 miles an hour, and they'd give them a plastic bee that cost 20 cents to put on their lapel. And if they got a plastic bee, these women were like, oh, I got a bee. I'm like, you can get that at the dollar store. But they thought it was. In fact, our kids, when we were in D.C., I want to teach our young people the truth. What do you think? We were up around the Smithsonian, and they were all amazed that the museums were wrong. They all said, I can't believe. Emily was going, I just can't believe all this stuff is free. And I said, it's not free. You need to go home and thank your mama and daddy, because their tax dollars allowed you to have that experience. I want our young people to know the truth about the world, the truth about reality. There is no such thing as free. There has never been anything that is free. Everything that is worthy has a price. And in 6:60 in the Gospel of John, the price comes. But I want to back up, because they were just amazed by the bread. And Jesus begins to use language that's hard to understand, because if you're after just the moment, it's hard to see into eternity, isn't it? How many of y'all have been tripped up at least once because you're more concerned about today than you are how today connects to tomorrow? You know, eventually you got to connect your day to tomorrow. Amen. Now, Jesus said, live in faith this day and you'll be all right. What? But you got to live in faith. But they wanted bread, Bob, oh Lord, have mercy. They was having a revival. Even we used to do this in revivals. We'd give people free stuff so they'd come to church. Then you had these preachers, you know, if we have 400 in Sunday school, I'll eat a goldfish on the roof of the church. Gosh. If we would just listen to Jesus, Jesus has a real apprehension in turning His message into a carnival. Because you know what He seeks? He said what He seeks in the Gospel of John. It's interesting, Pastor Jeff. He doesn't seek a crowd. I don't think. Do you? Did you ever have Jesus? I've never seen Jesus in the Scripture ever do this. Man, it's going to be a heck of a meeting. We got a lot of people here. Now, that goes right there to show you He's not a Baptist preacher. Because Baptist preachers are all impressed with the crowd. Wow, we must have had a wonderful Sunday. There's a lot of people that showed up. Well, what if a lot of people show up and don't do anything? Guess what that is? A lot of people doing nothing. And guess what that means? Nothing. Here's what Jesus figured out a long time ago. It's better to have a few faithful than a whole lot of folks doing nothing. And I want to tell you something, folks. I have found if you will be passionate about your faith, even as a person of one who is faithful and passionate, you will get more done than a crowd who's agreed to do nothing. Amen. Hype is not life. And they were all caught up in the hype of getting free fish. You know, I would have been too, because it was tough to get food back then. You know, you had to go out, you had to get your fish, you had to bake your bread, you had to crush the stone. And here I got a Savior that's giving out free fish sandwiches. I'm in. I'm following this guy. But then he says something that changes them. Go with me to verse 53. Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you will have no life in you. Uh-oh. That's changed. He said, I'm not here to give out fish. I'm here to bring in a new life. And what you're going to have to do, now that sounds just, that's almost, what do you mean eat the flesh and drink the blood? What, is Jesus calling me to be a vampire? No! He's metaphorically speaking here. To eat the flesh means this, you're going to have to ingest my way of life. Now how many of us really want to live like Jesus? Because I'm going to tell you something, if you live like Jesus, and if you really stand for what Jesus stands for, it'll cost you. Huh? Is that not true? It will cost you. Because I'm going to tell you something, Jesus wants you to love one another as he's loved. How many of y'all understand? If you're really going to eat the flesh of Jesus, then you're going to touch people's lives like Jesus touched people's lives. Jesus sacrificed his body so that you and I might have life. You're going to have to be willing to step into a sacrificial way of thinking. Now that changes our attitude. Those who are truly followers of Christ, they truly have this attitude. Not what's in it for me, but what's in it for we. They look at other people. How many of y'all get that? You look at other people. Because if you love God, the second command's going to kick in. I'm going to love your neighbor. I'm going to think about how this affects my neighbor. I'm going to want my neighbor to benefit too. How many of y'all are beginning at least to get that attitude? How many of y'all, if you're blowing your leaves, you don't blow them into your neighbor's yard? See, that's what a lot of us do, don't we? We blow our leaves into our neighbor's yard and we say what? My yard's clean. My neighbor's yard looks horrible, but my yard's what? You got to be careful. A lot of these rap songs run this line right here. I'm going to get mine. I'm going to get mine. I'm going to get mine. You say, well, does music really make a difference? Yeah! You take a 7-year-old and you run through their head constantly in their developmental years. I'm going to get mine. I'm going to get mine. I'm going to get mine. Well, guess what? All they're going to think about is what? Getting mine. It's about my feelings. It's about my... But Jesus said, no, those who follow me, they're going to eat my flesh and they're going to drink my blood. And here's what he's saying there. They're going to live my lifestyle and they're going to fall in line with my redemption even when it gets tough. I don't think salvation's worth giving up. What do you think? Of course, I don't think you can give it up once you truly get it. Because I don't think we create it. And God gives it. And it gets a hold of us. Let me ask you a question. Would you rather live and miss God? Or would you rather die and be with God? Now, those are the questions of faith. Jesus says some hard things. He said, if you want to find your life, you got to lose your life. That means you got to change the way you think. It can't be like everybody else. It's got to be like Jesus. And he goes on and he says this to him. He says, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Anybody here want to be risen at the last day? Anybody at the last day, would you like to be rectified, justified, and risen above the situation of death on the last day? Now, what are y'all golf clapping for? This is the big event. There's going to be a last day. How many of y'all are aware there's going to be a last day? There's a last day to this thing. There's a last day where all the talking heads can't talk anymore. And here's what we believe. For those of us that follow Christ, we believe that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. I believe that only Jesus can forgive sins. What do you believe? Come on, talk to me. What do you believe? That's true. So if that's true, here's what he says. Those that are connected to me on that last day, when the last thought has been thought, when the last word has been spoken, the last song has been sung, the last business transaction has transacted, the last war has been fought, on the last day, those who are in me shall be risen. Now check this out. And those who are without me will stay where they are. So you don't want to stay where you are. The point of the gospel is not to stay where you are. It's to become what Christ has called you to be. He said to do this, he uses this metaphor. You must ingest me. You must ingest me. When we participate in the Lord's Supper, the Eucharist, what are we saying? This is the flesh that Jesus Christ has given me. I will ingest that into my experience of life. This is the blood of Jesus Christ that has redeemed me. I will remember that I am not forgiven on my own goodness, but from the goodness and grace of Jesus Christ, I am redeemed. Thus, I am risen to operate differently. So Jesus said, these are my followers, those who eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, those who follow me. Now, I want to break that down where we can understand it. Those who follow Jesus aren't on the take. Tell your neighbor, I'm not on the take. Now, come on, you better tell them again. I hear Andy, better tell Trish, I'm not on the take. I'm not on the take. I'm not on the take. Because watch this. If Jesus didn't say, take it, he said, eat it. He said, here's the opportunity. Jesus came giving opportunity. Those. Now note, he didn't say everybody. He said those. That's just true. Those. Now the question is, are you one of those? He said, well, that makes me uncomfortable. Well, if you're uncomfortable, you better check out with the Lord. Because I sure wouldn't want to wait to the end of time to find out if I'm in or out. I'd want to know right now. I've had people, man, they get mad here at Hillview. They say, wow, you've made me question my salvation. I said, where'd you come out? Amen. They said, I'm still wondering. I said, I'd get saved. Amen. And they said, well, do you ever have doubts? I said, I have doubts, but I never doubt what he said. I'm saved because he said I was. I'm saved because he died on the cross. I'm saved because he rose from the grave. I'm not saved by my religious activity. I'm saved by the grace of God. That's what you got to remember. Eat of his flesh, not mine. Eat and drink of his blood. For my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate manna. So guess what Jesus is doing? He's reconnecting them. He said, don't get all caught up in this bread. God's done that before. He said, remember your forefathers when they left Egypt. God gave them bread every day. They ate bread every day. They followed the bread. They did what God said, but they died in the desert. Now he said, what I'm giving you is a life where you don't have to die. He said, the bread that you immediately see is not as wonderful as the bread that I am. Come on, the plot thickens. And he goes on. He said this while teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. Now you got to know where he's teaching. Who's he talking to? The Jews. It's in the bread. Now can I just tell you something, guys? Nothing's magic. How many of y'all are aware of this? Nothing's magic. This weekend we celebrate, watch this. Martin Luther King, I've studied him a lot. I love his message. And I don't want his message corrupted. His message is trying to be corrupted, in my opinion, right now. He spoke out against injustice. You know why I like Martin Luther King? He wasn't a racist. He wasn't a racist. Because he didn't speak out for one people group. He spoke out for all people groups. Now, who would sound like that?
Really? Jesus.
Jesus. Anytime you hear any man speaking on one people group, they cannot be speaking in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
They can't be, I mean, it doesn't matter what color they are or what philosophy they are or what narrow margin they're trying to support. If they're only supporting that particular entity, they can't be speaking in the name of Jesus. Because Jesus would say, all peoples. You see, the cross wasn't freedom for a group of people. It was freedom for all peoples throughout the whole world. Every group, every culture, every bent, every philosophy, every shade color. It was everything. Now guess what? Here's what I know about King. King knew he's going to die. Because here's what happens. When you stand for truth and justice, somebody will try to kill you.
Amen.
Who's trying to kill you?
Satan.
Or are we so nominal that we're not even worth killing? Are we so comfortable that the devil doesn't even mess with us because we took the fish sandwich hook and we would rather eat free sandwiches than follow Jesus? Just questions. Those who are my followers, they will eat my flesh and they will drink my blood and they will engage in my message. That's what Jesus says. I can tell you, as a pastor here at Hillview, if you do what God asks you to do, there will be people that hate you. And I would say never trust a pastor that isn't hated by a few people. If you meet a pastor and everybody likes him, that's because he's saying nothing Jesus said. He's tickling your ears and he's telling you what you want to hear. Now guess what? We live in a time where they'll tell you what you want to hear. I want to hear this. If I follow Jesus, I become a millionaire. I like that gospel. I don't want to hear the real gospel that says if I follow Jesus, I'll lose my life. I won't get to go exactly where I want to go. I'm going to follow him, but I do like Jesus' ending. On the last day, you'll be raised.
Amen.
Now, you might not look like you're being raised in the present day, but on the last day, you'll come through. How many of y'all realize we're last day people? We believe in the last day, it's going to be all right. How many of y'all are okay with that?
Amen.
I mean, if God blows the trumpet today, I'm not going to be nervous.
Amen.
Because I believe God's good with his word.
Right.
Now, note, I just want you, we've come to this point in the sermon. What are you going to do? There's some things we've got to stand up for in this nation. Justice is tough. You know what? We've got to stand up for our generation that's coming in. Listen, if you're really going to teach these kids and you're going to give them discipline and you're going to give them morals, guess what? Their parents are going to throw a fit. Their parents will throw a fit. Their parents will go crazy. You know why? Because you might have to tell little Johnny that he's not everything his mommy thinks he is. I figure it's better for the third grade teacher to tell him that than the judge to tell him that at 16.
Amen.
But see, the problem is we've taken all authority away from the third grade teacher. True or false?
Amen.
I talked to a lot of my educating friends. I believe the number one problem with education is this. We took that paddle away. That's just my opinion. Jesus didn't say that. Here's what we're scared of. We're scared to offend humanity. And it looks like that Jesus didn't give that one thought. He said, I'm not here to make you comfortable. I'm here to allow you to rise from the deadness of humanity. And the only way to get over deadness is to eat of me, to eat my flesh and to drink my
blood.
That's the way you get through this thing. Now, go to verse 60. We're actually going there. 660. And I want you to see what the reaction was. Because here's what I want to let you know. We ought to sing this old hymn today. I remember this hymn. Though none go with me, still I will follow. I remember being at camps, summer camps, and we had this old piano down there, and it had about three notes in it, but they'd bang them out, and I'll follow Jesus. And I remember an old song leader, he was big, and he ate a lot of chicken, and he'd sweat, and he'd go, "Though none go with me, I still will." That stuck with me since I was a 9-year-old kid. "Though none go with me, I still will follow." How many of y'all going to live like that? "Though none go with me, I still will follow." I just want to encourage you, you're a great congregation. Don't let up on truth principles just because they're not popular. All right? For some people in our city, it's not popular that we're a mixed congregation. Amen. Do you think I care? And then guess what gets them upset? I don't care. What really gets them upset is I don't think their opinion, their education, their experience is as full as Jesus. And it just torques them. We've had people leave the church because they came to me and said, "Pastor, I think." I said, "This is where we're off base right here. I don't care." Because we can't run a church on our opinions. If we run a church on our opinions, we'll run the church in the ground. You see, eventually you got to line it up where God says lined up. He said, "I am the head of the church and you are the follower. You do what I tell you to do." You know, Lord? Lord knows I'm a whiner sometimes. How many of y'all ever whine? Well, I whine. Sometimes I whine to God. "Well, God, they don't like me." He said, "I don't like you either sometimes. This isn't about liking you. This is about rising you from the dead. This is about raising you from the dead. This is a deeper message than you can see at the moment." How many of y'all have ever had to tell your kids something and it just hurt you to the core, but you knew later on that was going to be the greatest thing? I mean, when Blake learned how to ride his bicycle, his mom thought I was going to kill him. He bugged me all week long. "Ride bicycle, ride bicycle." He's about 4 years old. "Ride bicycle. I'm going to ride without my training wheels. I'm going to be a big boy." So I go take those training wheels off, and did I let you know he had agitated me to do this? So I take him off, and of course, in his mind, what was he going to do? He's going to hop on a bicycle and do what? We all have the same idea of marriage when we say "I do." Same thing. We think we're going to get married and everything's just going to be wonderful. And we go to the honeymoon. That's called a week-long con job. That's what it is. It's an illusion. And then you get off your honeymoon and you come back on Monday and you can't understand why she isn't as charming as she was a week ago on her honeymoon. You can't understand why activity has changed so severely in the everyday grind of life. But guess what? You got to ride. Well, Blake gets on that bicycle and he takes off across the driveway, and we got to be careful in our driveway because it's all hills, hills and trees. This is not the optimal place to learn how to ride a bicycle. He slides through there, man. He skins his knee. He plows through the ground. He said, "I'm not going to ride." I said, "You get back up on that bicycle." He said, "But I've hurt my knee." I said, "It doesn't need stitches. You get on that bicycle." And Elizabeth, all you moms know what she's doing. She's standing by the door going. And she's like, "Oh gosh." Then she looks at me and she said, you're gonna really hurt him." I said, "I'm fixing to break both his legs if he doesn't get back on that bicycle." She goes, "No, I'm serious, honey. Now you're a hard man." He gets on and we push again. Guess what he does the second time? He dumps out on the other side. He said, "My other legs hurt now." I said, "Good, they're evened up. We got two hurt legs." We push that bicycle and push that bicycle. And then there's that, how many of y'all have all had that magic moment? Yep. Where you let go of the back of the bicycle and you stand there like this and they get to the end of the driveway and you go, "Hey." Well, he learned how to ride that bicycle and he rode it all day. And I mean rode it and rode it and rode it and rode it. And then he rode it some more. He came in, got a sandwich. He went out and rode it and rode it and rode it. And my wife's thing, she goes, "You were pretty hard on him." I said, "I tell you what, you're exactly right. I'm not going to have a whiny man running around my house." And she said, well, "You know, what if he goes to school?" I said, "I'll whip the teachers too." I said, "It's about time somebody stands up and says some things are tough in life and some things hurt in life. And sometimes you skin your knee and you don't need a bunch of attention. You need to take that pain, take that purpose and eventually do what you got to do even when it hurts." Amen. You know what? He came back in that evening. Now, this is where women can't figure out men and men can't figure out women. He gives me a big hug and he said, "Oh, Daddy, I love you so much. Thank you. Thank you for teaching me how to learn that bicycle, ride that bicycle." Elizabeth looked at both of us and said, "I'll never get you to." True? Amen. And I don't get her and Clacy. You know, they'll go, and right now I'm trying to learn how adolescent female relationships work. Here's what I hear in my life. Jesus said, "Eat my flesh and drink my blood." That's the only way I'll be able to understand that. Lord, get me through it. You see, there's moments in life that Jesus calls us to. And look what he said. It's a tough teaching. On hearing it, when they heard, "Eat my flesh, drink my blood, follow me, ingest who I am." On hearing it, many of his disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" How many of y'all, as soon as it's a hard teaching, you reject it? Can I really be honest today? If you're going to follow Jesus, there's some hard spots.
Amen.
When Jesus says love and forgive, well, that sounds real nice in a Sunday school class until you're put up in a situation where somebody has offended you or hurt you, and then you got to forgive and offend. Then eat my flesh and drink my blood is a different reality. When they say all things about you, which is people talked about Jesus. They scandalized Jesus. They even called him the devil. You know what Jesus did? He kept on following God all the way to the cross, all the way through the resurrection. Does that make sense? And look what he does here. His disciples, aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, "Does this offend you?" Now, no, Jesus asked a question. Does this offend you? This is interesting. Jesus is actually answering this question. Does this offend you? And he goes on. What if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. I think we got to be reminded of that. This trip is short. True? And what Jesus is trying to tell us, I've come to show you there's something beyond what you can see. There's something beyond what you can eat. It's a short trip. He said, the flesh won't live on. It counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit, and they are life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe. You got a choice today. How many of y'all going to eat and drink and participate in what Jesus said do? Folks, if you really want to see a revival, in my opinion, it's not getting in a big coliseum, jumping up and down, singing a bunch of songs, getting a bunch of hype going on. This is just my opinion. I don't know. I've seen hype all through the 80s. It doesn't seem to have affected people very much. Huh? We flooded coliseums full of believers jumping up and down. What has it affected in society? I think what Jesus is looking for is not hoorah, but yes, sir. Lord, I'll do what you've called me to do. And if they take me out, I'm going to do what you called me to do. And if they say it cannot be done, I'm going to do what you called me to do. Because I'm going to eat of your flesh, and I'm going to drink of your blood. I'm going to live in your way, and I'm going to trust your salvation because I believe there's life in it. That's called following Jesus. And some of them didn't believe. In fact, one of them in the immediate 12, what?
Betrayed him.
Jesus makes note of that. He had opportunity to believe, but he chose what? What are you going to choose to do? You want a fish sandwich? Pastor Jeff, I wish I could be more, brilliant than this. Here's my deduction of the text today. You want a fish sandwich? Or you want a new life? Anna, guess what most of them wanted? They wanted a fish sandwich. Because the fish sandwich represents this. It temporarily pleased them. Now guys, how many of us are involving our lives in things that temporarily please us in the moment, but escape us from eternal reality? So what will you do? Tough lesson today, amen? So here's the exposure of Jesus. Sometimes he's tough. But Hillview, I got good news. Because what are we going to do next week? Will y'all come back next week? No fish sandwiches. You're going to have to make your own. But watch this. Next week we're going to break ground. We're starting this building. Because many of you have stepped up and you've given in such a way we can start. And if you don't mind, would you give Jesus a hand for providing? About God. And I want to challenge you guys this way. You know, I just don't do hoorah real well. I'm not going to put out 400 slick brochures and spend $100,000 trying to get you to give you money. Here's what I believe. If the Holy Spirit can't provoke you, I don't need to be trying to sell you. Is that fair enough? That's where this pastor stands. I'm not being critical of any other pastor. If we all come together, we give to it a little bit, that debt will be off that thing real quick. But it's got to be everybody stepping up a little bit. Cool deal? Now, you're going to be reminded of it because there's going to be a big hole out there. Okay? We've had to adjust the plans. You all have been very patient. But guess what? I'm glad we didn't build 3 years ago. Guess what we'd have done? We'd have built too small. We were about to build too small. Now, how brilliant would that have been? That'd been real brilliant. It takes longer for God to get to us. We're not his brightest children he has working the church. And so we got a lower unit now in that building. Okay? We got three floors that are going to develop young people. Preschoolers, children, and watch this, from the time your child is 2 till they graduate from high school, they'll be in that building. And how many of y'all are glad to have this opportunity? You meet new people that come to our church and they go, where do I take my kid? Watch, this will be real Hillview, that building. Yeah. See, we can all get that. How many of y'all can do that? Watch, and we'll even say like Hillview, that building. What if I got a baby? This building. What if they're 2 years old? That building. And see, you know if they're 2 or over, they go to that building. We can handle that. Right now, we got 4-year-olds up here and 2-year-olds over here and 9-year-olds up here and 9.5-year-olds up on the other side of the roof. And this just confuses Hillview people. You can see many of them. They're like computer websites that have locked up. They just, when you tell them. Now we're going to have the building to go. That building, that's a children's building. Looks like that's a child. It goes in that building. Amen? And y'all have given. I'm excited about you giving. And here's the thing, though. Is everybody listening? Because this is the eat of my flesh, drink of my blood. This building is not about having a building. It's about developing children and youth. This building will be used. Okay? This building, the walls are going to get messed up on it. Things will have to be replaced in it because it's going to be used. We want it to be used. Not wrecked, used. Used in such a way that people come out better. Now, how many of y'all going to be committed? A lot of you are parents in here. A lot of you are grandparents in here. This is going to be your grandchildren in this building. We got to start raising up a generation, and we got to really teach a generation. There's not a free lunch. There's a new life. I'm telling you, we've taught a free lunch deal. Anybody disagree with that? I mean, it's just amazing when you read this whole episode in John. It's so current event right now in the 21st century. I want mine without effort. And Jesus said, if you want what I got, you've got to ingest who I am. The way that I've lived my life in body, in the gift of grace I've given through the redeeming blood that forgives all sins. That's a tough message that works. True? I don't know about y'all, but being married's tough. How many of y'all found being married was tough? Or how many of y'all just got married and just have loved each other and lived happily ever after? By the way, I got to looking at some of the right. We talk about in this nation, we talk about in our nation, the pursuit of what? Now see, that's been reinterpreted to the guarantee of happiness. We didn't guarantee happiness. We said that we will be a nation where you can what? So if you choose not to pursue it, guess what? It ain't some, that, boy, that's very Kentuckian right there. Excuse us, all of us, all you English teachers, excuse this. Here's the phrase that really communicates. It ain't going to happen. We got to pursue the righteousness of God, the justice of God, the truth of God, the mercy of God, the reality of God, the new life of God, so that others can live a full and abundant life. Real stuff. Well, what about you? You going to eat and drink? You going to take what Jesus lives? Are you just going to be mesmerized with what Jesus gives? If you noticed, Jesus was not impressed with his miracle. For all you miracle worshipers. Jesus was not what? He wasn't impressed. He didn't meet him on the other side and say, what did you think about the fish sandwich miracle? Was that not something or what? He goes crazy and says, eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you follow me. And many, guess what they did? They left. So here's what I'm telling you. You will be left if you don't get real. Now today, do you know Jesus Christ loves you? And do you know that he lived a sacrificial life? He shed real blood so that you could be made new. Have you asked him to come into your life, just like Darren showed us today? Have you asked him to forgive you of your sins? Have you asked him that you want a new risen life and you believe that he rose on the third day? Have you asked him to come into your life? Because guess what he says in the scripture? If you ask me, I what? That's what Jesus said. You ask me, I'll give it to you. Now follow me. I mean, we've had two Sundays. Jesus has said what? Follow me. And Pastor Eric said, well, Jesus, it's a little tough. Scott, oh, great counselor, one of mercy. What do you do with Jesus when the people walked away and he didn't go chase them? You know why some of you aren't healed? You know why some of y'all don't get past where you are? Is because you'll never step through the pain. Any of y'all ever seen an electric fence? We wanted to get through it through the other field one time and we thought we could jump the electric fence. We jumped. It was a shocking reality how we got into that other field. But I'm going to show you something. We got there. It hurt. And we rolled into the other field. But we made it to the what? Other field. Sometimes the way we got to go through life, man, we got to face our pain, let Jesus heal our pain, and get to the other side. You follow me. Well, let's stand together. You know what you need to do. Some of you need to come today, you need to be baptized. Some of you need to come today, and you need to say, God, you know what? I need to follow you. How many of y'all need to repent because you thought there was a free lunch? Students, your professors are not there to give you grades. They're there to challenge you to think, to get an education, to come through. These are attitudes. How many of y'all would come and say, Lord, help us be a church that's influential on helping people understand that there's not a free lunch? But there's a God that will raise me from what is dead in me. I don't know. That's better news. Amen? So guess what? Not giving away free sandwiches today. Say, thank God. How many of y'all are big enough? But I need a new life. Some of you today need to say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. I want to live. Some of you need to say, Lord, you know what? I got to go on through. Now, how many of y'all have this habit? As soon as it gets tough, you won't back out. It sounds like to me the last two sermons, Jesus has never said, back out or step away. He said what? Follow me. Through. So this altar is open. Pray with me. Lord, as you search our hearts and our minds and our reality, oh, Jesus. It is tough in places. And so, God, I pray that you would strengthen us with your passion
with your power, with your mercy, that we might eat of your journey and drink of your path. And the world might see life because we've lived with you intimately. In the name of Jesus, amen. This altar's open. It's your time with Christ. Come on, church. Let him have it.